Years and years ago, in one of my previous churches, youth ministry positions, there was one of those teenagers who was entirely too confident for his own good. Thought he knew everything, the way some teenagers and a few adults kind of feel like they do. And there was one day where I had the most extraordinary conversation with him, where the subject of birthdays came up, and I told him what my birthday was, and he said, "No, that's not your birthday." I was speechless. Who should know better what my birthday is? Me or some snot-nosed teenage kid who has entirely too much confidence for his own good, you know? We probably have all had not that kind of experience, I hope. I hope I'm the only one that's ever had that conversation. But, you know, we've had experiences where our expertise, our knowledge in a certain subject or about a certain thing has been questioned by somebody, right? You had that kind of an experience where somebody thought they knew your business better than you know your business. And you can kind of imagine or think back to the feelings that you had when somebody questioned your expertise. I mean, often it's righteous indignation, right? I mean, I'm a trained person. I know what I'm doing. I've read all five books. But sometimes they have a way in these conversations of kind of getting under your skin to the point of making you second guess what you thought you knew, right? Have you had those kind of conversations? Oh, maybe I don't know about that as much as I thought I knew. But Jesus is having one of those conversations in John chapter 3, if you want to turn there with me. Jesus had moved into the neighborhood of the human race. He had become God incarnate in the flesh among us. And he had established a reputation as a miracle worker and as a great teacher in Israel. Many, many people knew who he was by the time he shows up in John's Gospel, chapter 3, in Jerusalem. And in the previous chapter, you can read the story of him going into the temple and predicting its demise and throwing people out and clearing all of the people who were turning it into a den of robbers, throwing them out. And that was one of those great slaps in the face to the Jewish leaders, the priests, the elders, the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, for whom the temple was this you know, ground zero, speaking of ground zero, a ground zero of their expertise. They knew how to worship God. They believed thoroughly that they knew who God was and what his plan for Israel, his chosen people, was. And they knew how to worship God, and they knew how to live lives. They had rules and regulations galore. They knew how to worship and live their lives for God. And then Jesus comes in and turns the tables, literally turns the tables upside down, and calls into question everything they know. And so one night, one of those Pharisees, one of those members of the Sanhedrin, the ruling council, comes to talk to Jesus, scratching his head, saying, well, let's see what they say. Now, there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." We know these things. Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." Calls to question everything that Nicodemus thinks he knows about God. So Nicodemus says, "How can someone be born when they are old? Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear the sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus. And do you not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak about heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. Three times Jesus uses this phrase, very truly I tell you. And each of those three times he is taking Nicodemus to task. He is pointing his bony finger in Nicodemus's face and saying, you don't really know what you think you know. He's doing this to a person who was an expert in the law. Nicodemus knew what his birthday was, and Jesus was saying, I don't think that's your birthday. The first time in verse 3, Jesus replied, very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. What does it mean to be born again? You probably have a footnote in your Bible that offers an alternate reading of that. No one can see the kingdom of heaven unless they are born from above. What does it mean to be born again? It means a second start, a second chance, a fresh start. It means to break out of the deeply ingrained point of view that you have, the habit that you have allowed to become ingrained in your life, and to see something from a completely new and novel perspective. It means instantly being able to exercise faith and love and obedience to God for the very first time, because those aren't things that we human beings do naturally. We can't have faith from God right out of the womb. We can't love God without something happening to us from the hand of God. We can't obey God just because we think it's a good idea. That's what it means to be born again. It means to enjoy a quality of life that we have never before experienced. It means to be released from blindness and all of a sudden to have eyes of faith that actually can see the invisible kingdom of God among us and in our own lives. It means to be released from prison and welcomed into God's amazing kingdom. Really? That's as much as you're going to say? You can't know this, Nicodemus, unless you're born from above, born again. Then in verse 5, he says it again. Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. What does it mean to be born of the Spirit? It means to be filled with the Spirit. The very life of God in you. In your heart, in your affections, in your mind, in your thoughts, in your life, in your actions. God living closer than your back pocket. To be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be born of the Holy Spirit, is to be one with God. Are you holding the hand of the person next to you, or don't you do that during sermons? You know what it's like when you're in a scary place to grab the hand of someone close and to feel their strength and their confidence when you're feeling afraid. You know what that's like, right? You know what it's like to have a friend, a husband, a wife perhaps, who is so in tune with you that when you get confused, you can turn to them and ask for advice and counsel and guidance, and you know that they're not going to lead you astray. That's what it's like to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus prayed in John chapter 17 that we would be one with Him, just as the Father and the Son are one. And how one do you think Jesus is with His Heavenly Father? Like 80%? 90%? Jesus prayed that we would be one with them just as they are one. Okay, here's your opportunity to respond.
Amen.
Woohoo! Then look at verse 11. Very truly I tell you, Jesus says, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one to whom the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Who is Jesus talking about?
Himself.
He's saying, look, fella, I know what I'm talking about. I know what my birthday is. Thank you very much. I've been there. And what he's also saying is, and Nicodemus, you have no clue what you're talking about. I mean, it's all prettied up here, you know, in Bible language. But Jesus was saying to Nicodemus, you have no clue what you're talking about. You think you're a teacher of Israel. You think you're an expert in the law. But I've been to heaven. It's where I come from. I know what I'm talking about. It's the difference between having experienced something versus having just heard about something. How many of you have been to Six Flags, the amusement park? Yeah, it's a terrifying place. I am terrified of heights. A year ago or so, a couple of my children thought it would be a good idea of taking me there. At least they paid for me. And I forget the name of the thing, but there's this tower that goes 250 feet up into the air, and you get into these little swing seats with cheesy little chains that they got at Home Depot. What's it called?
The Superman.
The Superman? Yeah. I was not a Superman. You know, and so, you know, they slowly drag you up 200 feet and the thing is spinning around and your legs are waving out there in the middle of no place. And if you dare to look down, you probably will spew chunks and stuff like that. But, I mean, there is no way of describing this to this experience to somebody that's going to be as terrifying as actually putting your behind in the seat, right? You know what we're talking about here? Jesus says, I know what it is to be one with God. I have experienced this. You have just made up rules about it. But there's nothing like having experienced something. It's what the old timers used to talk about when they say that the distance between heaven and hell is 12 inches, which is the difference between your head and your heart, right? Remember that old revival service one? We may know about Jesus Christ, but until we've experienced Jesus Christ, we really don't know what we're talking about. We've got a couple favorite songs in the church. One of them is, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Beautiful song. Beautiful. You can stop right there. I just needed the first two lines, you know. Beautiful song. But you know, I have a more favorite song. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Yes, it's a wonderful thing that the Bible tells us about Jesus. But what a more wonderful thing it is to know that Jesus is alive in my heart. So Jesus spells out for Nicodemus what eternal life means. It means being born from above. It means being filled with the Spirit. It means experiencing God, not just knowing facts about Him. Eternal life, brothers and sisters, is the kind of life that God lives. It's the quality of life that God lives. And we are invited into that. I know you're not supposed to watch movies if you're a Nazarene, but years ago I snuck out and saw Crocodile Dundee. I'm glad some other of you snuck out and saw Crocodile. You'll understand this illustration. So Crocodile Dundee is this Australian, you know, wilderness guy from the outback of Australia. Is she a correspondent, a reporter of some kind that goes to... Yeah. And she brings him back to New York City, right? Back to New York City. And in one scene, they're coming out of the hotel or whatever, and this guy comes out with a switchblade and says, you know, give me your wallet. And Crocodile Dundee just kind of smiles and pulls out this massive Bowie knife, and he says, that's not a knife! I mean, we can have life, or we can have eternal life. Go ahead, make your choice. I think I'll stop there. Are we willing to admit our relative ignorance of what it means to be a follower of Christ? Are we willing to admit, no matter how many decades we've followed Christ, that maybe we don't know it all? That maybe we haven't experienced it all? That maybe there's something more? You know, that's what Mike and Kim are asking for. Lord, we want something more. We want something deeper. And the way to get there is to say, Lord, as much as I know and as much as I have experienced, I don't know it all and I haven't experienced it all. You are an infinite God and I am a finite human being. And God says, I want you to have it. I want you to enjoy it. I want you to experience it. I'm inviting you to believe at a level you've never believed before. I'm inviting you to experience a kind of life before that you've never had before. Let's bow our heads together. Is God speaking to you? Is God inviting you to leave the 4,000 footers behind and head for the 16,000 footers? Is God inviting you to move from just having a few of the answers to experiencing the Lord of the answers? The way we follow that leading in our life is to give up. To say, Lord, I can't work myself into that kind of a relationship. I can't learn myself into that kind of a relationship. Lord, I have to give up and allow you to give me new life. Give me entire sanctification. Give me the kind of unity and wholeness that you've prayed that we might enjoy. Father, that's your work, not my work. just say yes. I give up, Lord, yes. Lord, I believe you are at work among us here this morning. We don't have to kneel at an altar to be able to say yes to you. But Father, I pray that if you are doing work in our lives here this morning, that you would give us the courage that Mike had this morning to talk about it. Lord, before we leave this place today, help us to have some conversations about eternal life. Help us to have some conversations with one another about what you are doing in our hearts to help us experience you. And Father, as we leave this place today and we go back to school and back to work and back to our neighborhoods and back to our families, we pray that you would help us to have conversations about eternal life with the people that we know, that we spend life with. And Lord, I pray that you would give us the humility and the courage to question some people's expertise. There are an awful lot of people in this world, Father, who think they know about God. But I pray that you'd help us to tell our stories of the experience of God. Show us how to do that in a loving, non-condemning, inviting way. Make disciples through us, Father. In Christ's powerful name we pray. Amen.